Bill Pulitzer here with this week's column from CourthouseNews.com. Why accept victory when you can keep on fighting and lose? I don't have an answer to this question. If you do, let me know. Meanwhile, for a stunning example of this sort of battle, check out a U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit ruling from last week called Simic v. Chicago, in which a woman challenged a city ordinance against texting while driving. She didn't have to. After refusing to pay a ticket for texting and getting hit with an extra $440 penalty for not paying the $100 fine, she made enough of a fuss that the city gave up and said she didn't have to pay. Some of us might have walked away happy at that point. This plaintiff, though, filed a class action claiming the ordinance was unconstitutional because it violated the Due Process Clause and the Excessive Fines Clause. Don't expect an explanation from me. The circuit court seemed befuddled by this, too. I bring this up not only because it's entertaining, but also because there was a missed opportunity here. Why did this plaintiff not challenge the law on First Amendment grounds? That would have given those judges some pause. After all, texting is a form of speech. It may also be a form of press. Interesting side issue. Does freedom of the press apply to radio, TV, and fake news? There are no presses involved. Can the government ban a form of speech simply because a person is driving? What if, say, the President of the United States was at the wheel of his armored car and decided he needed to tweet a message to the country? Doesn't he have a constitutional right to do so? I know there are safety issues involved. Texting can be distracting. But when the First Amendment is involved, laws must be narrowly tailored to achieve their purpose without unnecessarily infringing our rights. A blanket ban is clearly overbroad. I just ban anything involving emojis or weird initials. You need too much attention to figure them out. Someone please file a class action. If you need inspiration, take a look at another fascinating First Amendment dispute described in a ruling by U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, also released last week, called Ochizi Creamery v. Putnam. The issue: could the state prohibit a dairy from calling skim milk skim milk? The state and the dairy have been fighting over this for about 4.5 years. The state of Florida insisted that the skim milk in question, created by skimming cream off the top of milk, be labeled a milk product and not skim milk. Skim milk, at least in Florida, has to have vitamin A added to it, which you think would make it a milk product rather than natural skim milk, but the state said the opposite was true. Don't look for logic here. The state was also fine with labeling the real milk as imitation milk. Favorite line from a footnote in the ruling, quote, "When questioned at oral argument whether an imitation milk permit is even issuable for a milk product such as skim milk, the state conceded that it was something of a square peg in a round hole," close quote. I might have sued on the basis of silliness, but the dairy took the constitutional route. Its First Amendment right to say skim milk was being infringed. And now we have a 22-page ruling upholding the right to say skim milk, though not necessarily in a crowded theater. We also have a First Amendment ruling last week from a federal judge in California that says it's okay for a public university to stop funding a satirical student newspaper because the school stopped funding all student print publications. You can stop the presses as long as there's equal protection. Actually, equal non-protection. Fair enough, schools shouldn't have to fund newspapers if they don't want to. This case, Koala versus Kozlaw, however, is one for our collection of seriously impractical battles. The newspaper, the Koala, before it got cut off, got $453 for winter quarter last year. I'm guessing federal litigation has cost a little more. Maybe the lawsuit was meant to be satirical. See you next week.